Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 187, part 2, the conclusion to nothing. Today is Sunday, February 20th, 2011. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support Pastor Paul's club. Up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog. You can also call the comment line. That number is 1-877-489-0922, and the local number is 612-208-0916. Scripture links within the message are in the show notes at Pastor Paul's blog. Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. Part one is on Friday. Part two is on Sunday. For the month of February, these are the messages: battles, division, nothing, from nothing to all things. Have a great month of February. We'll see you back here twice weekly for Pastor Paul's podcast. God bless you.
What's that song? He shoveled 16 tons, and what does he get? Another day over and deeper in debt. Isn't that how it goes? Weakness in a little grief as well as weakness in an ocean of sorrow. Weakness in small trials, let's say, as well as the fiery furnaces of the devil. I think in everything, Christian. We are powerless apart from the Lord, who is our strength and who is our salvation. God is your strength. You can always tell when it's God's strength, because it's always enough. I think we must really learn the meaning of this text. Without me, ye can do nothing. I never heard Jesus say, without me, ye can perfect nothing. No, without me, ye can do nothing. I think just as in our last glorious leap into heaven, all of our strength must be in our God, so it must be when we take our first step towards Jesus and towards salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Can you take someone's salvation away from them? No. Salvation is of the Lord. And don't say if you're about to start something, I will begin this and then God will give me grace to make up all the deficiencies, but I will trust my good judgment for a time, then God will step in after I get going. No, you build in vain. You build out of stubble, straw, and hay. Cornerstone must first be laid. Foundation must be laid. Jesus must be the foundation of that thing, or don't even bother building. Don't even bother starting to build. Or the old devil will huff and puff and blow your old house down. You cannot lift a finger. You cannot stir your hand in any spiritual work apart from God. None. The Bible says, always learning, but never coming to know Jesus. And isn't there a lot of learning going on? Everybody's learning, learning. I talked to a woman. She's 25 years in the Lord. 20 or 25 years in the Lord. So what are you doing now? I just entered a 5-year Bible study. Boy says, what are you going to do with it? What good is it if you don't put it to work? That's like going to college. And you're 45 years old and you're still in college. And the last thing you can take up is basket weaving. Huh? I got to get a haircut. I'm looking like one of them professors myself. How many hearing is? You can no more, let's say, put on the white robes of glory any more than you can take off your death clothes. This has got to be done for you. Any meritorious work has got to come from God. You can't even die by yourself. It's all arranged for you. The funeral arrangements have been made. Now, you can walk up to a little baby and you could say something like this. Of course, you wouldn't say it, but you could say, it's a terminal case. This kid is going to die. It is going to die. Might die when it's 1 month old. It might die when it's 100 years old. But it's going to die. It's terminal. You're all going to terminate. Everybody in here is going to terminate. If you don't know when it's going to happen, all of a sudden your heart will just stop. Maybe the person with a real weak heart will go for 100 years. And a guy is strong like a bull. And drop just like that. Never know. Let's all terminate. Come on. Let's have a termination. Isn't there a song like that? Seems to me there is. What I'm saying is you have to die and become nothing, and you need to terminate your self-sufficiencies. You have to terminate your own self-will. Boy, this person has a strong will. Probably a stiff neck, too. Well, everything has to be done for you from the beginning until the end because He is the Alpha and the Omega. Well, I hear you say on the radio, but this person has natural talents. Now listen, Christian, whether you have a right heart and a right mind, you can do nothing apart from the Spirit, nothing. Your flesh can never be an aid to the Spirit. Your old man can never help your new man. No. Paul cried out, he learned this, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" He knew the flesh was a hindrance and self must go. And I believe when we get rid of self and self's power, then we shall be strong. And you have to be knocked to your knees several times. But all the strength of nature is but the weakness of grace. And all the flesh power is a nuisance and a hindrance unto the Lord. No help to Him whatever, none. And I think we need to understand this fully tonight, go out with this. We can do nothing. And now the legalist, I know you're out there and you're listening and you will call and you will have your letters here. You know why? Because you are certainly offended. But then, of course, it's because you don't have any peace. It's a result of not loving God's word, but putting up with it. See, the legalist puts up with God's word. That's why they're so mean. Thus saith the Lord. When they're having people repent, every day they bring people to the altar, they paddle their flesh to the altar every Sunday to get re-saved again. Brother, you're not saved. Come on back up, get saved. You say that to your natural child? Nicodemus even said, How am I born again? Do I go in my mother's room and be born again? No. You must be born of the Spirit. You see, there is a certain amount of legalistic preaching that teaches people that they can lose their salvation over and over, and they get saved and unsaved and saved and unsaved and back and forth. I couldn't preach at all if I believed that. Do you ever wake up in the morning and feel unsaved? Did you ever do something kind of mean and then you felt on? Aren't you glad you don't have to go by feelings? Feelings. Feelings like I never had before. Feelings. Feeling them now, huh? Well, have you? Ye can do nothing without me. Boy, I mean, we have to come to realize that. You can't love anybody. You can't do a work for God. Yeah, but oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See, it's only the grace of God. That's all it is. It's all grace. All grace, all grace. There's no other message. I'm not going to legalize it. You cannot mix the law and grace. You'll end up with a grace sickness. You ever seen somebody with a grace sickness? That's when they mix the law ministry and the grace ministry. It's only grace that makes us love the Word of God. See, it says, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. In other words, in your flesh mind, you hate God. Not only hate it, enmity, totally hate it. The flesh does not love God. The carnal mind does not love God. It hates God. It's only grace that illuminates our mind. It's only grace that orders our affections. It's only grace that changes our will. It's only grace that infuses good thoughts into our minds, that infuses good desires into our affections. It's only grace. It's all grace. You can do nothing. You can't even be good. You can't even smile right. It's a crooked smile. Yeah, it's all grace that infuses, like I said, the good desire into our affection. And then it leads the will to execute the good thought of the good desires. See, it's all grace. His grace is sufficient. Always. It goes before you, it goes with you, the Bible says, and it follows you wherever that you go. The hounds of heaven are after you. It excites, it assists, it works in us to do His will. And so that our works are not in vain. See, we work in vain if we work outside of the realms of God. Work in vain. Don't get paid. I didn't tell you to build that church. Look at the church I built. Who told you to build it? Doesn't mean anything. I didn't ask you to. You griped about no. There was nobody there to help you. you gripe this week about you doing all the work? Nobody else. Who cares? Nobody. Nobody really cares. Well, haven't you heard folks say that? I could care less. Sometimes people say that in their minds. They're looking at each other. I fully understand. They're saying, I could really care less, though. Did you ever hear that song? Oh, probably you never did. I'm the oldest person ever living. It was Betty Hutton. And it was an old song. It's called, He Says Murder, He Says, at a time like this. He says murder, he says, is this the language of love? Huh? You never heard it? Going on. Hey, folks, now maybe I heard someone on the radio say, you know, they called him, you know, you laugh too much. Well, would you rather hear me cry? How can you laugh too much? I mean, doesn't it take the grace of God to keep you laughing in a situation like what we're in down here? Well, what is your situation? Well, why don't you come on down and find out? Oh, we go by hearsay. I'm going to write a song on hearsay. How many go by hearsay? All people go by it all the time. They don't want to come down and investigate. They go by hearsay. Well, I hearsay. Well, I heard one thing I really like. Someone says, Pastor Paul, I heard you got a brand new truck. I says, I'll accept that one. Things are getting better. Things are looking up. That's the best hearsay I've heard all week. I'm getting a new truck. Grace. It's all grace. It averts temptation and stands by and aids us in temptation. It's always there. It guards us against the flesh. It guards us against the world. And it guards us against Satan. Guards us against ourselves. You are your own worst enemy, you know. Because that mind before salvation is dead in sin. But then when it's saved, if we allow it, we get lifted up. Oh, I heard someone say, well, you know, the promises depend on us, you know. I said, no. It does not depend on your strength. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Unto him that hath no might, it says, he increaseth strength. No might. Inasmuch as we are often told that young men do faint and that they do get weary and the youth, it says, do utterly fail, but that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, don't you see that by the very fact that these promises prove, now listen to it, that they are needed, and if they are needed, it must be because man is weak. Why do you think these promises are here? Because we are weak. And we do need the promises. Doesn't that do away with all the ignorant doctrinal differences? Without me, ye can do nothing. Now this wipes out all the doctrines. You know that a lot of times in doctrines, there's books and books and books. I mean thick books of doctrines. The doctrines of the church. Piles of books. Boxes of books. Guards over the boxes of books that are in vaults, in caves, buried below the earth. And that's where they belong. But doesn't this humble the proud believer who's done some little service for the church? Who gave you the knowledge and who gave you the strength and who gave you the wisdom?
Oh, you're doing such a great and mighty work for God, Pastor Paul. We are all so proud of you.
Says, really? I says, I tell you what, I was made willing in the day of his power, because there's a whole lot of days I ain't willing. But I've been made that way, just like I got brown eyes. I can't change them, and I can't change the fact that God made me willing in the day of his power. I'm made that way. I can't even run away. I tried to run away a couple times, and I couldn't do it. Yep, I ran to California 3 times. You know why you can't run away, preacher, if you're called to it? Because it's in your blood. You have been made willing in the day of his power. Just like that. You're made willing to quit smoking and to quit drinking in the day of his power. And the power was on, and bam, it left you. You were made willing, so you aren't even willing to give those things up. But God makes you willing in the day of his power. And there's nothing you can do about it. It's all God's grace. Maybe you've overcome some temptation, you're listening to this tape. Be careful not to decorate yourself. Oh, don't decorate yourself with all kinds of self-glory medals. That'll be a good target for the devil. Who made you strong in the day of battle? Who took away your self-consciousness? Thou art clay, the Bible says, and he is the potter. And if you are a vessel of unto honor, it is not for your own honor. Besides, you couldn't handle your own honor. Did you imagine people praising you at midnight hour at 4 o'clock in the morning? I did this before, I'll do it again. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. And all the throngs of people are outside there. We praise you! We praise you! We praise you! Well, in the first place, your wife would divorce you. We praise you! And the kids would probably take out guns and shoot you. We praise you! And you'd yell out to one of them, shut up! You're not made for the praises of man, night and day. You can't, you short circuit. Look at the rock stars. All this praise, it just drives them crazy. They're not made for that praise, them poor people. They have to take drugs so they can't even hear, and they play so loud so they can't hear these, but they hate their audiences. They actually hate their audiences because they praise them. And when they praise them that much, they can't stand it. They're not made to take it. We praise you, old drug freak. We praise you. See? And they look out in the audience and they cut themselves and, oh, we hate you people out there. And they used to put bracelets on. They say, all right, run up against each other. Hurl yourselves and bang into each other. Why did they do that? Because they love one another? Or they wind up and they're going to go into the next apartment. Okay, let's go! And they all rush the wall. Why do they do dumb stuff like that? They cannot stand the praises of men. They're not made for it. Ooh. I am the potter. You are the clay. Isn't that the way that goes? Something like that. But I think a lot of times the little pots like to jump off of the old turning wheel when they're still kind of lopsided. And they go out there, I'm ready. I'm ready. And their pot's all, it's out of round. They're not ready. God will make you ready. How many hearing this? But we get off the potter's wheel and we get out there and we're all crooked and bent out of shape. Well, we're ready, huh? You're not ready yet. You're not ready. You'll end up being a crackpot for the Lord. Not ready yet. Wait on me. Unto him that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Inasmuch as we are often told that young men do faint and are weary, and youths do utterly fail, but they that wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. Wait! I'm not done with you yet. Don't get off of the wheel yet. I'm still doing something to you. You have ridges in your personality. There's imperfections that I got to lay my hands on and smooth out with the water of the Word. But anyway, when you're finally bowed down in humility, learn yet another lesson. Never depend upon yourself again. And by each experience, learn how to trust more and more and more in the Lord. Well, is there a point that you reach, Pastor Paul, that you have reached? Well, I'm not saying we're perfect. Of course not. We'll be perfect when we get to heaven. Yes, 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 yes. But what I'm saying is there's a point that we do reach when we can kind of ease off. Go ahead and try it. Go ahead and ease off. Take off the full armor of God. Lay your shield over to the side. Take your helmet of salvation off. Scratch your head. Get good and ladies. Sluggard it out, and the devil will dart you to death. Ye can do nothing without me. Learn that. About the time you think, oh, okay, I've learned everything. Now, what else can happen to me? Don't ask that question. Everything will happen to you, oh God. There'll be not one thing that spared you when you ask a dumb question like that. And yet, if the Lord is going to use you for a greater work, and maybe, did you ever feel this way, Pastor? I think you have to look at this. There are some martyrs that live. They all don't have the privilege of burning at the stake. They're roasted. They go through a spiritual roast. You ever seen these things when they have roasts? They have these celebrity roasts. Christians can do that to you. They can put you on a spiritual roast. I've had a couple of them. I'm glad the Lord keeps buttering me up, keeps me from burning. You can do nothing without me. About the time I think, oh, that, man, I made it through that roast. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I've been through everything. Now, ask me anything. I've been through it all. I am beginning to wonder when my next roast is going to come. And I thought to myself, maybe God is using me as an example of how many times an old bird can get roasted and still be walking around. Still navigating, still in obedience. Somewhat. Well, I haven't flown the coop. My wings is burnt off. I'll tell you something, if I didn't have a sense of humor, I wouldn't even be here. One guy told me, he says, well, I know one thing, he says, you're completely crazy. I said, how do you know that? I says, it takes one to know one, you know. What is completely crazy? I don't know. Do you know what it is? Well, then you are. Did you ever hear somebody say that? That guy's totally nuts? How do they know that? You only know by your experiences. Well, will somebody answer that question? I hear somebody saying that already. That guy's really nuts. He's totally nuts, crazy, out of it. No, I'm just nothing, that's all. I'm becoming more nothing every day. Well, it gives me less to worry about. All right? I have to worry about my reputation. Lose it every other day. But I feel more Christ-like. Because Jesus, it says, was a man of no reputation. And that was God. I'm getting there. Whew. But anyway, preacher, when you're finally bowed down, learn that lesson. Don't do it again. By each experience, learn more and more. Trust ye in the Lord forever, the Bible says. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Go for the everlasting strength. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Is that how that goes? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, leaning on the everlasting arms. You know, a lot of times we sing that, we don't even know what we're singing. But I say this, that his strength is only available as long as our own is not present. You stand there with woolen clothes on, all worked up into sweat and a lather, and God won't be there. He will help you to be a worm. You know, you have to have help to be like a worm. Did you know that? You can't be a worm all by yourself. Yeah, he'll help you to be a worm. He'll help you to lose your own strength. He'll take you away from your power and he'll give you his power. But if you persist and go on your own way, he'll take his power from you. He'll cause you to stumble and fall. Well, that's all right, because you can learn from a stumble and a fall also. And I think we have to learn to depend upon the Lord every day. When you wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I am depending on you for this day. You know what? That'll keep you humble. Don't we all wish to grow independent? Kids want to get independent. They want to get independent, don't they? Don't they? And when they get about 12, 13 years old, it's like that you never were their parent. You are the dumbest thing that ever walked. Well, some of them don't say that, but really you don't know too much. You're from the old school. Remember my dad, he would spoke real broken. Hello, Poole. What's the matter? You think I don't know nothing? I'm a dummy or something? You the dummy. You think your daddy dummy? You think your mama dummy? You shame your mama, daddy? You ashamed your mama, daddy come to school? Are you ashamed? He said, no, I'm not ashamed. But maybe I was a little bit. But I wasn't when my dad got done with me. No. There's a point in every person's life when they think everybody else is a dummy and they know it. And it's the same way with Christians. Spirit-filled Christians, I don't care what kind of Christian he's talking about, whatever. Sometimes we stay right at 13 and 14 years old and everybody else is a dummy. Did you know that? You can learn from everybody. You can learn from a dog. You can learn from a sign. You can learn from anything if you're open to learning. We can learn from one another. When you're teaching somebody, who's learning? You are. And when you're preaching, Pastor, I think it should be that you're preaching to yourself. Preach to yourself before you get behind the pulpit, and then what you have has got some power to it because it's got the right spirit in it. Are you hearing this? When you're growing something, give it right back to God. You grow in wisdom and knowledge, and all wisdom and knowledge comes from the Lord. Well, you grow in that, give it back to the Lord. Reinvest it. God, deliver us from all self-sufficiencies, all self-reliances, and all carnal securities. Well, you say, how does this relate? And I think we all preachers, you better start to minister to the unsaved. But anyway, how does this relate to the unsaved? Without me, ye can do nothing. Well, you listening that aren't saved. Maybe you're sitting. Maybe someone's forcing you to. Maybe you're in an office and they got the radio turned up a little loud so you can hear it. And you're over there snickering and saying, listen to that crazy guy every 1:30 every day on the radio. How much truer, you're sitting over there in a snicker, how much truer is this of you? Without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, you can perform physical acts all right. But you see, you are like a wild olive tree. Look at your decisions. Homosexuality, ERA, H-bombs, abortion, no prayer, suicides, perversion, hate your neighbor, rip off your neighbor before he rips you off. Well, you listen, aren't you? Sure you are. Don't try to run away. Come back. Are you lonesome? Sure you are out there. Are you reading the paper every day for some kind of a counsel? Dear Abby? Or is whiskey and marijuana, is that your peace? See, you can't discern between good and evil. You cannot judge truth and you cannot judge error. Unsaved man, unless the Holy Spirit leads you to Christ, you can do nothing. You can't go to a born-again church unless you are led. However, I believe you can go to a dead one. You can do all things that only need arms and legs and eyes. You can do some mental things. But of the spiritual things, you are dead. No life, only death. No hope, only hopelessness. Only self-smiles. Only plastic smiles. Only fearful smiles. Only smiles that are put on. Only self-conversations trying to prove to yourself that you really are living. And you are incapable of any righteousness in your own, but you're capable of a whole lot of iniquities. Now, how do I know this? Because I was in that same thing myself. And when I depend on myself, even now, I find out I can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, you see, I know what I'm talking about. Through experience. Well, then you go ahead and you say something like this. Well, they'll say about me, I can't do nothing. I say, good, that's what I've been preaching about. Ye can do nothing without me. I think every person should learn their own inabilities. And listen, I can, for the life of me, when a legal preacher gets on, I just wonder sometimes, see, you have not really seen your own depravities. You have not seen how low and base and sickening you really are, really. You have not seen yourself. Because when you truly see yourself, you will certainly know that ye can do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe right now in my closing minutes here that the Holy Spirit is doing such a work right now. Well, I've heard preachers say, evil is becoming much. Well, but grace, it says in the Bible, is becoming much more, does the grace of God abound. Much more. Let it come! Who do you think is allowing all that evil to come? God is! Who do you think is the author? God is! God created evil and God created good for His own, whatever He's going to do. He created it all. Oh, that's a bad doctrine. Oh, it is not. Read it in your Bibles. God created evil and God created good, and God can put an evil word in a prophet's mouth, and God can do anything He wants because He is the owner and the author and finisher of everybody's salvation, faith. Let's not give 1 ounce of credit to the devil. He can't even come to you and bother you unless he has permission from God. Ask Job. Man is being prepared to be received. Man is going to be humbled in this last latter day. Humbled. Well, what do you mean by that? I mean humbled. Are you ready for it? Mother against daughter? Daughter against mother? Father against son? Son against father? And the enemies will be in your own household? Peter, do you love me more than these? Well, what is this, these? These, anything, anything. Do you love me? Well, who is my family? Are you ready for that type of ministry? Are you ready for it? See, man has run out of ideas. They don't know what to do. Here we had a little reactor problem over in Moscow. Man has run out of oil, run out of gas, run out of money, crops are failing, businesses are going to flop, and men's hearts, it says, in the end, will fail. See, the coming of Jesus Christ is only a work of the Holy Spirit, and I tell you, the Ides of March are upon us, but I'm saying the coming of the Lord is real, real soon. Separation is coming between the sheep and the goats. Separation is coming. It's evident between the precious and the vile. And there is a line that says in the Bible is being drawn. And I think here in my last couple of minutes here that any conversion, listen to this, which does not teach man the fact that he can do nothing, is a conversion from which he needs to be converted and a repentance which he needs to be repented of, that he needs to get into the doctrines of grace. You can do nothing without me. Are you hearing this message? No, I'll never get to thinking that we'll have revival by certain person. Like, oh, Pastor Paul is going to go to Chicago. There should be a great revival there. Or certain here, unless the Holy Spirit is with it, nothing will happen. Nothing. Unless the Holy Spirit guides us in this fun-driving thing for to meet the needs of the poor, it won't go over. But it will go over if there's prayer and fasting put into it, and a seriousness put into it, and a seeking the Lord for His will. God, is it Your will that we do this thing? And maybe God will say, well, before you do this thing, there are hungry to be fed down here. There are things I want you to do. Don't put all your attention on that one thing. Where were you when people were waiting to be served? And where were you when there was a bread run up there? And where were you when? And where were you when? And you want me to do this thing now, but where were you when? And see, now that's just sound preaching, isn't it? Is it? No, that's sound preaching. Where were you when? Well, I had to go take care of my barns, and I just got married, and I invited you to a feast. You mean you're newlywed didn't want to come and eat? I never knew a woman that never wanted to go out and eat. That's a lie. You made an excuse. You made up an excuse. All women like to go out and eat. That is a dumb excuse. Well, I bought some steers today, and I got a good tickle. It's midnight. We're going to have a feast. By the time you get back home, it'll be midnight. You can't see them cows now. You already signed the papers. What kind of a dummy are you? You got a 90-day warranty on them or what? You know how many are hearing this? Well, I bought a field, and I got to go out and look at it. Are you going to see anything out there at night? What are you going to do? Go feast on the dirt? And they all of one accord made excuse. What is your excuse? See, first things first. God cannot honor a work unless in every part of that work, everybody is involved in every part of that work. And I'll tell you one thing, folks. We're going to have a dedicated people down here that are going to be dedicated to the work. To the work, to the work, to the work, to the work. Oh, you hate that word. One way to empty a place out is yell fire or work. Now, I know a lot of them turned off the radio as soon as I ministered work. God, how we hate work. Don't mention it. Mention raise. Mention more pay. Mention better benefits. Mention break periods. Now, you want to see people move? Yell break. Break! Oh, Lord. Huh? I never could see that. Years ago, I worked at a place. Now, it'd be 15 minutes to it, and everybody started getting ready to go home. 15 minutes, 17 minutes before it was time to even go. Just prepare themselves to get out of this snake pit. Be the first one at the clock to punch out. Run home, get in the car, scratch gravel out of the back of this place. Drive home and sit in a rocking chair. You're on break till the next morning. I'll tell you something, I don't want to take breaks. Might stiffen up. Rigor mortis might set in while you're on your break. Break! How many are hearing this message tonight? Now, here's the last piece of scripture. I promise. Oh, my rear end is hurting me. I've never sat so long in my life in these seats. Oh, they're so... Oh, legs. Me rub my legs. Oh, this guy ever going to get done? Oh, my God. Oh, I got a cramp. Will he ever finish? My God, he won't quit. What do you expect out of nothing? Teach me thy paths. I know nothing. Teach me thy paths. I can do nothing.